Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, makers of Daylight, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. I use Daylight as my case management tool. It organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, and emails all in one app that's with me on my Mac, iPhone, and iPad. I use Daylight on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases, delegate tasks to each other, and see everyone's schedule, all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools I use to stay organized and increase efficiency. Visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight for free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Welcome to episode 56 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as always. I'm delighted today to have Susie Clark of SusieQBookkeeping.com with me today as my guest. And full disclosure, Susie is in fact my own bookkeeper for my law firm. And I think she is just terrific and has done so much for me in terms of helping me get a handle on the financial picture of my law firm and focusing on what's important for its growth. Susie comes to us after, 15 years or so of accounting background, and she has experience in a number of different industries and well-versed in a whole slew of accounting and bookkeeping methodologies and standards. And along with her team, as you'll hear, she can tailor a program for you that allows you to either turn over your bookkeeping and accounting process to her and her team, or clean up a mess that you've made, which happens more often than we like to think, or train you to do it yourself and provide just kind of a general oversight and end-of-the-year type support. So in following up with last week's guest, Jeremy Bendler, who was an accountant who schooled us on accounting issues and told us how important it is to also have a bookkeeper to work with, I thought there'd be no better choice for a guest today than Susie. So without any further delay, let's have a little chat here with Susie Clark. Susie Clark, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time to be here with us today. Susie, tell our listeners a little bit about Susie Clark, about Susie Q Bookkeeping, and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I grew up in Oklahoma. I have a very varied career path. I've done everything from being like a pawnbroker to a real estate assistant to just about everything in between. I got trained by a CPA to do the books for the real estate agent that I was assisting about 15 years ago. And when the real estate bubble burst, I started freelancing bookkeeping. And I saw this need for small businesses to understand where they are in their finances, because making decisions on a day-to-day basis is so important when you're growing a business. And so I took a chance and went out on my own in 2014, completely doing this full time, and I have been doing it since, and I just love it.
Tell us a little bit about your business itself, how you're structured and who you have helping you and that kind of thing.
Well, I have a team of five right now. Mostly I've got a couple of moms that like the flexible schedule, and I've got a couple of new college graduates, one that's going to sit for a CPA in April. And these guys, I mean, they support me and are able to just do kind of the stuff that I don't have time to do. And they're all certified QuickBooks online bookkeepers. We actually start there, get them certified first. And then I train them on the importance of the different pieces of what we do and the reason why we do it.
Okay. Well, do you have a traditional office space or?
Oh, no.
You're up in the cloud somewhere?
Yeah, everybody's in the cloud and everybody works pretty much from home. I'll do a team meeting about twice a month and we'll do training all together. But besides that, they are pretty much on their own.
Do you bring them in physically for team meetings?
Yeah, I sure do. Right here in my house and my dining room table.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff has been planned around a dining room table for sure.
Isn't that true?
And then, have you considered like using something like GoToMeeting in order to do video conferencing, or you don't have that need quite yet?
Well, we've done it. We've had a couple of times where, like, especially my moms, they have a lot of stuff that can come up, without a lot of notice, and they'll Skype in or Google Hangout into our meeting so that they don't miss the trainings and they don't miss sort of, there's so many moving parts to a business like mine, with as many clients as we have. And, I gotta have FaceTime at least with them sometimes,
Sure. Well, tell us a little bit about your client base. What type of businesses do you serve?
I serve a lot of different industries. I have several law firms, real estate agents, construction companies. I have an auto mechanic who's in Oklahoma. I've got a jewelry designer in Texas and a visionary coach in Philly. I really, the principles of bookkeeping apply to all industries. There are definitely ins and outs of every industry, but the processes are very similar.
So not only setting up your business to be run on a virtual basis in terms of your team, but your client base can be spread out and accessed virtually as well, giving you, a footprint as large as you want to be able to support, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you couldn't do that 10 years ago.
I know.
the opportunity to create a business such as yours, the barrier to entry was really pretty high. And now, darn near everybody's iPhone has the capability of doing what you need done.
Right.
Well, that's terrific. Well, you talked about some of the services. What are some of the traditional duties that a bookkeeper performs?
Well, traditionally, most bookkeepers enter transactions in from the bank statement and then do a verifying of the data through a bank reconciliation on a minimum monthly basis, right? And we base that on like the actual cycles of the bank statements, the cycles of the credit card statements, bank and credit card transactions. But I'm a little different. My bookkeepers not only are trained on how to do the basics of bookkeeping, but they understand the basics of accounting and how the balance sheet in your books, that's the most important piece of information, because that says we've verified the data and we know it's right. So if the balance sheet's right, everything's right. And, my bookkeepers are also trained to look at spending trends, and they actually review the overall picture of the cumulative profit and loss every month before they send it to the client to make sure there aren't any mistakes.
Well, I mean, you're really skirting the edge of my understanding of the language of bookkeeping and finance here, which doesn't take a lot. So let's just kind of break it down into some real world terms. I mean, I run a business. I've got a couple of checking accounts, and of course, our listeners know from our intro to this segment that in fact you are my bookkeeper.
I sure am.
And have created great awareness on my part in terms of the company finances. So, but for somebody who doesn't understand that, let's kind of break it down a bit. So, I've got a couple of checking accounts, and typically before I either hand wrote or printed the checks from my bookkeeping application, you know, using my handy dandy all-in-one printer. And, you know, when the statements came in at the end of the month, I would make sure that everything was there and make sure that all the numbers added up correctly. So how does a bookkeeper help with that?
Well, the bookkeeper, we actually have we use QuickBooks, and we have a workflow that if the workflow is followed precisely, there the balances never get messed up, meaning that the balance that the bank says you have and the balance that QuickBooks says you have are the same. And that's really the trick. And that's where a lot of business owners get off, is that the balances get messed up, which means they're either overestimating or underestimating their expenses and or income, you know, which is not good. Paying more taxes or paying not enough taxes can get you into trouble. So, and that's really what we do, is we just make sure that all the expenses are captured.
Now, in my previous life, and you know, life before Susie Q bookkeeping, where I got into not trouble, but you know, a quagmire, so to speak, was I would be writing checks or using the firm credit card to pay for expenses, and those would, you know, come in to the bank account, and I would kind of eyeball what my balance was. And at some point, the end of the week, every 2 weeks, I would go in there and match up what the bank says I had to what my records showed. And sometimes I would find, wow, I'm a lot lower than I thought, because I've got automatic expenses, automatic payments that are going out, which is a great flexibility. But if you don't stay on top of your account on a daily basis, you can be writing a check on funds you don't have, which now we're talking about real problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So would a bookkeeper help?
Yes.
In that respect?
Yep, absolutely. And when I take a client on, I talk about frequency as well. You know, how often do you want to see your data? Because then we'll adhere to that, you know? And then you have as up to date of a view on your finances as you know, posting transactions.
Yeah. And so I can tell, you know, our audience that one of the things that I now have in working with you is that I can go into the QuickBooks online application, which connects to my account in the cloud, and I can track every expense that comes from the bank. It connects to my bank accounts and then pulls those transactions, both payments and expenses and income, pulls them from the bank account into the application, and then I just match them up.
Yep.
And the application has intelligence built in that over the course of time, it can do some auto matching. If it sees the same kind of expense being paid at the same time to the same entity, it can match those up automatically. So what used to take me an hour or more to, quote, reconcile, now takes literally minutes.
Right.
So I think that's a huge help, and it helps me stay on top of the financial picture.
Well, it's always hard to go back, and you know, when it stacks up, it becomes overwhelming. So doing it as it comes in is the best way to do it.
Now, one of the other things that I had a challenge with, and tell me if you've seen that this with your other clients, is making sure that what we call our chart of accounts properly summarizes and categorizes both income and expenses for the firm. Talk about a little bit about what a chart of accounts is and how that works in a bookkeeping scenario.
Sure. The chart of accounts is a fancy term for a list of categories. It is essentially the list of bank accounts, liability accounts, which is a fancy word for loans, equity accounts, which is your money in and out of your business, right? And then the income and expense accounts, right? Every piece of the chart of accounts either translates to a report, which is called either an income statement or a profit and loss, or the balance sheet, which are two really important reports that I send to my clients every month after we've done the reconciliation of the credit cards and the bank accounts. So that's really how it translates over. It's just, and the chart of accounts needs to be customized to each industry and each client, because it's about what the client wants to see. And it's about how the client wants to track those expenses and then see them reflected on the profit and loss. I've seen really messy chart of accounts where we can really simplify that stuff. And I say, what do you want to see? What's important for you to see? You know, and then we can adjust the chart of accounts to fit.
I think my challenge with some of the terminology is that I always thought the accounts were the two things you held with the bank. You know, your operating account and your IOLTA trust account. If they change those other names to categories, right? Which is what they are, really.
They are, exactly.
You know, I would have had so much of better understanding and being able to segregate my expenses or consolidate my incomes into categories that reflect the business workflow. And that's what, frankly, you've been able to help me do. And I think a bookkeeper would really, really help any law firm, any small or solo law firm do.
Absolutely.
Does that change? Or does your role change dependent on the size of the client firm that you're working with? Or is it generally, theoretically, the same?
It's generally, theoretically, the same. Personally, I prefer smaller firms just because it is a little simpler. And, I like to have one person that I'm sort of interfacing with on a monthly basis so that, you know, we know where we're going and where we want to go. And I find that easier, but that doesn't mean that that's always how it is. You know, it doesn't, but you know, the principles are the same regardless of the size or even type of a client.
Now, last week we had an accountant on the show and we talked at length about, you know, the accounting issues that law firms have to look out for, things like taxes, payroll, general accounting principles, and the like. How does a bookkeeper work with an accountant? You said that your company is a little different than others in that you have accounting principles and accounting skills built into what you have to offer. Does that supplant an accountant, the need for an accountant, or do you work with an accountant? And if so, how?
Usually I work with an accountant because you want an accountant or a CPA to file the taxes. I don't file taxes. I can get you all the way to the point of filing taxes so that your books, you know, your income statement and the balance sheet are correct. And you can then just send that information to the accountant instead of, this is what a lot of people do is they engage an accountant to do their taxes and then they either hand them a box of receipts or a stack of bank statements. And then the accountant is essentially doing bookkeeping at a much higher rate than I do to get the taxes ready. I do all of that throughout the year. So like we're tracking it on a much, you know, instead of doing it in March or February, we do it all year long. So at the end of the year, we close out the year and you're ready to file your taxes in January or February.
Well, I can tell you that other than my wife, the person who was most excited about me hiring a bookkeeper was my accountant, because for the last dozen or so years, I was doing exactly what you said. At the end of the year, I couldn't get Quicken to do exactly what he needed because I hadn't put the data into Quicken correctly or the way that facilitated generating that profit loss statement the best way. So it didn't really tell us what we needed to know. And so I would give him the P&L statement, the last bank statement from the two accounts, and any outstanding checks. And then he would, and then a transaction summary for the entire year. And he would do just as you said. He would kind of figure out, what is the financial story that this data is trying to tell me?
Exactly.
And while I love my accountant, and he's also my personal accountant, I didn't love paying him all the money that it took to do what he needed to do. And he didn't like doing it either. So he was ecstatic when I told him we'd hired a bookkeeper to work with. So I would urge our listeners that it's not one or the other. It really should be both.
Right. Absolutely. We work in tandem. And, you know, what a bookkeeper really does is give you that up-to-date picture of your finances, like, you know, up to the day before. I mean, it's about as up-to-date as we can go.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. As I mentioned, I use Daylight as my case management tool, as it organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, emails, all in one app. And it's with me everywhere because it's on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. If I get a call from a client when I'm out of the office, I can quickly pull up the details of the case on my iPhone and then jot down some notes after the call, and it's all organized in Daylight. I use Daylight by myself on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can track the status of cases, delegate tasks between one another, and check everyone's calendars, all without having to interrupt anyone or dig through papers. It really streams your workflow so you can work more efficiently. Managing email is a big part of how Daylight helps me. It integrates with Apple Mail, so as I'm going through my emails, I can just click and save emails to a client or to a case. That way, when I'm looking at the case details, I can see a history of all the emails with the client or any notes that I've taken and follow-ups with them all in one spot. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight. to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. Well, one of the reasons I embarked on this journey was because I had several coaches and mentors and in fact, talking with folks on this podcast who would ask me questions about the financial status of my firm that I could answer intuitively or anecdotally, but I couldn't answer analytically. I couldn't answer with hard data because my accounting system wasn't telling me what I needed to know.
Right.
And so getting that house in order is turning out to be as significant as one might think. How does a law firm go about engaging an accountant? Is it a ongoing process? Is it month to month? Is it a one-off event? What kind of form does the engagement between a firm and a bookkeeper take?
I mean, I start out by signing an NDA, so we have a little bit of, security there.
Just for our listeners, a non-disclosure agreement.
Yes, thank you. Non-disclosure agreement. And I personally speak to each client that I take on because I want to make sure that I understand what's important to that business owner. But as far as like ongoing, what I would consider like a maintenance, which is where you are, Neil, where, I'm just doing your books on a monthly basis. We have a workflow designed for each industry, each client that says, here's where we're going to sort your data. And then we're going to ask you for bank statements so that we can reconcile the data and then reports. And so it's really ongoing. Once you become a client of Suzy Q Bookkeeping, you're a client for life. We want to serve you until you are no longer in business.
So typically a law firm would engage a bookkeeper on a monthly basis, an ongoing monthly basis.
Minimum. Yeah. Yeah. Minimum monthly. Definitely.
Well, and certainly they could meet, weekly or daily if that's necessary. But I mean, in terms of a contractual arrangement, it's not like they have to hire you for a year.
Nope.
Right. So they're hiring you essentially on a month-to-month basis.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And
is that fairly typical for bookkeepers from your experience, or do you not know that's just how you do it?
I think so. I think it's fairly typical that it's a monthly sort of engagement because that's the cycle that the banks run on, right?
Yeah.
And so we kind of adhere to the same cycle. And I would say that most bookkeepers are like that, but I'm really different. And I've tried to make it a little different and, I want it to be a little bit fun.
Oh, it's definitely fun with you. It's definitely fun. We've talked around this a little bit, but what role does technology play in bookkeeping these days? Gone are the days of the green eye shade and the double ledger books.
Mm-hmm.
So I know your shop is a QuickBooks shop, as frankly probably most all bookkeepers are. But beyond, how does the client interact with that? How do you interact with the client via QuickBooks?
Well, these days we've got QuickBooks Online. And so everyone has their own login. So the client has their own QuickBooks login. I have my own login and all the accounting is actually done in the cloud. And everything I do is tracked and everything the business owner does is tracked by their login. So I can actually see an audit trail on every transaction that's added into QuickBooks Online. Technology is huge these days because we're not only in the cloud, but we're secured by Intuit, right? And Intuit, they are the financial guys. They have some of the best security of anybody these days. And, I love how important the security of the data is to them, which, just goes hand in hand to everybody having their own login, everything being tracked as it happens. And, technology is where it's at. Used to, it was software though. Before we had the online, we had desktop, and that was essentially the same kind of thing where you're feeding those transactions in, reconciling at the end and using the software to give you that current picture. It's still the same principle, but now we're all online. So it's actually so much easier.
Yeah, I guess in the previous incarnation, it would have been more difficult because for you to have, say I was running QuickBooks on my local server or my desktop computer, in order for you to gain access to that, somehow you'd have to gain access to my server or my desktop computer.
Right.
That presents its own security challenges. But now, in moving the data up into the cloud, as you said, we have an application that runs on my laptop or my desktop, and yours runs on yours. And we can both log in at the same time to the same QuickBooks account maintained by Intuit in the cloud. And they do all the record locking to make sure we're not updating the same financial record at the same time and causing a problem. And as you said, they provide all of that security and then some, and allow you via your administrative, or the client via their administrative authority to gain a audit trail of all those transactions on a per login basis, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I think when we were talking with the accountant last week, I think one concern that attorneys have, as well they should, because I've seen it happen, is that they lose control of their checkbook, so to speak. Too many people, or they don't have enough visibility into who can write checks against their account. Does a bookkeeper exacerbate that problem or help correct it?
I think we would help correct it. We wouldn't be signers, right? We would only be taking the transactions and just making sure they are there. If we see something different, because my bookkeepers and myself, we're trained to see spending trends. So if we see something different or out of the ordinary, I think we would bring that to the business owner's attention quicker, because we're in there on a weekly, most of us are in there on a weekly basis, just making sure the transactions are being sorted and they're going where they should be. And, you know, and again, if we see something weird, it's a red flag.
Yeah, but before I didn't have anybody to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Neil, you haven't looked at your QuickBooks account. You need to kind of match that all up. Now I have an accountant who taps me on the shoulder every week and says, Neil, you haven't done that. And yeah, when we spoke to our accountant last week, he was, you know, saying essentially the same thing, that they look for trends, they look for out of whack spending that might give you insight into something's gone wrong in the control of your financial situation. But the accountant doesn't see your books that regularly. So a lot of damage could be done if something bad were to happen. A lot of damage could be done if you're not recognizing it and the accountant's not seeing it for, you know, a quarterly or even an annual basis. But the bookkeeper is looking, as you said, once a week at least.
Yep.
So it can help minimize that. So I agree with you. I think it does, aside from helping you understand your financial picture, it does also help give you peace of mind that, you know, your money's staying where it's supposed to stay.
Absolutely. That's one of the side effects of working with my firm, is a peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So for our listeners, I know what I was looking for when I set out to find a competent bookkeeper. What do you think they should be looking for?
Well, there are a lot of bookkeepers out there that are not, I'll use your word, competent. And, you know, you can really, I think that what you want to look for in a bookkeeper is someone that is certified in the accounting program you're going to be using. And also, you know, there's all kinds of certifications we can get as bookkeepers. I personally am a certified public bookkeeper. I'm a CPB, which is another, like, it's a little certification, but it's something, right? And anything that a bookkeeper is showing that has some sort of educational background that'll give you the basics of accounting is huge. A lot of bookkeepers don't understand the basics of accounting, and they're just really worrying about how to categorize transactions when it's bigger than that. And I think that, you know, if you ask those questions to someone you're hiring, you know, what's important to you? How can you help me? You know, what certifications do you have? Are you, you know, for me, I'm a QuickBooks Pro Advisor. I'm advanced certified in QuickBooks Online. I'm certified in desktop. But I've been doing this like 15 years. So it's all about the background, really. You know, anybody that's been doing it for any length of time, you understand those basics.
Well, I'll tell you what I was looking for, and I think you know it because we talked about it, but I'd share it with our audience as well. First thing I wanted is somebody who came to me recommended. So that was I wanted to have some confidence. Somebody else was using Suzy Q Bookkeeping and was happy with their performance. And then secondly, you know, a bookkeeper, you know, it's not exactly like a doctor-patient relationship, but you really have to open your kimono a little bit to mm-hmm. your bookkeeper, and they're going to have insight into all aspects of your business, good and bad. So I wanted to make sure it was somebody that I could talk to, somebody that I could relate to and whose company I enjoyed, because if that weren't the case, I wouldn't want to be, you know, sharing the details of my business with them. And then thirdly, I wanted somebody who could interact with me in the cloud and with technology was the basis of their practice. And so we could do our business virtually. Those were the three things that I looked for in a bookkeeper. And obviously you satisfy all of those. So I would offer that up to our audience a little bit. When should we hire a bookkeeper? I waited way too late. So I'm going to just say globally, the earlier the better. But is there an optimum time for hiring a bookkeeper?
I mean, I think that anywhere within the first 90 days of opening business bank accounts is a good time to hire a bookkeeper. There's a couple of technology reasons for that, like the QuickBooks will download 90 days worth of transactions. But also, if you set the ground up correctly, going forward is easy. If you have to go backwards and fix mistakes, that's a little harder. And so I always, you know, definitely the earlier the better. Now is a good time.
Yeah, now. When's a good time to hire a bookkeeper? Now. What's the second best time? Earlier than now. So, yeah, I waited way too long. And it's ironic because one of the first guests that I had on the show, Pat Yevics, who was the grandmother of all solo practitioners here in Maryland. She said one of the three most important people that you need to hire when you start a law firm is a bookkeeper. Right away. Don't not hire a bookkeeper because you don't have a lot of money. Hire them now when you have no money because it's easier to set up the accounts that way. I, like hundreds and thousands of others, didn't listen to her. So when I did hire a bookkeeper, a fair amount of our time was going back and fixing stuff that was in there, but wasn't in there in an optimal way.
Right.
So sooner rather than later. Well, I'm going to ask you this personal question, and you may answer it at whatever level of detail you're comfortable. But I posed the question to our listeners via my listserv as to what would they like to know from a bookkeeper about hiring a bookkeeper? And the primary, we've covered most of the things, but the primary question most wanted to know was, isn't it expensive? How much does a bookkeeper cost?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little different. So don't think this applies to every bookkeeper, but I actually custom design bookkeeping solutions for every single client that I have. And I do everything from, and it's really kind of a la carte, right? So I can train you to do it yourself and you'll just pay me my hourly rate for the time we sit training. And then maybe on a quarterly basis to go over the financials and then to make sure that things are happening. So I can either train you to do it yourself or I can do it all or anything in between, right? And we'll talk about, I'm a bookkeeper. I'm going to be dealing with your budget in a very real way. So you give me a budget, we'll stick to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But my hourly rate is $50 an hour, which is about half of what an accountant would charge you to do bookkeeping.
Yeah, and I would point out that the question or question for lack of a better word that Pat raised, she said, "Well, how much are you paying your bookkeeper now?" And I say, "Well, I don't have one." I said, "Well." She would ask them, well, what's your hourly rate? When I told her my hourly rate, she said, well, that's what you're paying your bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. Would you pay an outside bookkeeper that amount? No, not likely. So it's a very cost-effective proposition. And I'm delighted that I've now seen the light and hired a bookkeeper because it's really made a difference in my understanding of the financial picture of my firm and helped me to focus on the things that are important. And so I'm thankful for your presence. I'm thankful for you being here today. Just as a little aside here, can you, before we go, do you have a recommendation to our listeners on an app or a program that they might want to use to help them with accounting issues or issues related to bookkeeping?
Absolutely. We've got, I use personally, because I'm all over the place, a big issue, and I see this every year with every client. If you don't have something in place to track your mileage, you won't get the best deduction for your mileage. And I use an app called Mile IQ, which literally tracks every drive I take. And then it asks me at the end of every day, I always have this list that said you had 5 drives today. And I swipe them left or right for personal or business. And it could not be easier to track my mileage. And it's changed my mileage game.
I'm so delighted that you picked Mile IQ because, you know, you turned me on to it months ago and I've been using it, you know, since I guess December or so. And it's really a remarkable application. I know it's just, you know, tracking GPS. I get that. But it's got some nice logic built into it. It can auto-categorize certain drives. So if I know that I'm driving from the office to the courthouse and I'm doing that 3 times a week, it automatically catalogs that as a business trip.
Yep.
And I love the Tinder kind of, yeah, you know, quality to it, you know, left to personal, right, you know, to business. Mm-hmm. So that's a great tool. Well, Susie, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with me today. I know you're busy helping folks wrap up their tax preparations and issuing 1099s and good stuff like that. So I know this is a busy time of year for you, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Tell our listeners, if they want to chat with you further or if they want to kind of reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Best way to get me is 2 ways. You can either go to my website, which is SusieQB.com, or email me direct, which is just Susie, S-U-S-I-E, at SusieQBookkeeping.com.
All right. Well, hopefully some of our listeners will do exactly that.
I hope so. I'd love to hear from them.
All right. Thanks ever so much, Suze. I appreciate
it.
Thank
you.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.